one. Let's go. Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studio. Jim Beaver here with another edition of the Anything Goes podcast, where we interview celebrities, athletes, action sports athletes, race car drivers, entertainers, musicians, gamers, I don't know, you name it, we are going to interview them here on Project Action. Got an amazing guest this week, AJ Buckley. You know him from the TV show SEAL Team. You know, he's an actor, also an entrepreneur, and it's going to be an amazing interview today with AJ Buckley. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. If you know, and if you're not watching this season SEAL Team, I don't know what you're doing, man. Definitely should be must-see TV right there. But yeah, AJ Buckley on the line today. I think you guys are really going to enjoy that one. Thank you once again for joining me here. If you want to follow me on social media, it's at JimBeaver15 on all forms of social media. Make sure and go over to iTunes and hit that subscribe button to Project Action, and as well as my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show. It's also on Podcast One, but hit that subscribe button there on iTunes. That's my motorsports only talk show. And yeah, it's a great show today. If you want to leave a rating review over there on iTunes, make sure and do that. And if you leave a rating review, if you leave your Twitter, Instagram at username in the body of the review, and I see that, I will follow you back on social media. So upcoming shows here on Project Action, we do have a really awesome interview coming at you next week. Tori Wilson, former WWE pro wrestler. She was a diva. I mean, she was a face of the company for quite some time. She also made her, I guess, her return to the ring here at WWE Evolution, the all-women's pay-per-view. She's also, you know, man, way into the fitness industry. She's just launched her own company. Definitely a great interview. We've already got that one in the bank. Let me tell you, when it drops next week, you're going to enjoy that. Also, make sure and check your feeds if you subscribe to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, or check out my website, downanddirtyshow.com. Here, I believe today we're going to be dropping an amazing interview I did out at Camp Razor with Polaris. Sat down with Mitch Guthrie and RJ Anderson, a couple of factory Polaris Razor drivers, and you know, we you know, as well as my good friend Matt Martelli, who owns the Mint 400, and we talked about just the UTV industry, off-road culture, and it's like a 45-minute sit-down. And not only is it in audio form, we also videoed the entire thing, so we're going to drop that on YouTube. So make sure and look out for that. I think you guys are going to enjoy that if you're a fan of off-road or racing or UTVs. Definitely going to be a must-listen to episode there. So lots of good stuff coming up on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. At Alexander Rossi, NHRA champ Steve Torrence, and the legend Rob McCracken. So lots of good stuff coming up. I know next week I'm actually going to be in the studio at Podcast One in Beverly Hills. I'm doing two interviews. You're going to see me. Both of them been previous guests on my shows. Now I'm going on their shows, but I'm going to be on with Spike Ferriston. You know him. He's got Spike's Car Radio there on Podcast One, one of the top rated car shows in the country on iTunes. You definitely want to don't want to miss that one when I jump on Spike's show. That's going to be a fun one. And then Natalie Ava Marie, I'm going to join her and her husband Jonathan on their podcast, the Natalie Ava Marie Show. So those will be coming in the upcoming weeks as well. Definitely don't want to miss those. But speaking of not missing things, before we get to this amazing interview with AJ Buckley, I do want to tell you about a couple of our amazing partners here at Project Action. And, you know, we're reaching the midway point of the NFL and college football season, and each game becomes that much more important. In the NFL, the Rams, Saints, Chiefs, Patriots, they're emerging as the teams to beat, while the Redskins, Carolina, Pittsburgh, Chargers, and Cincy are all playing very strong. College football, it's Alabama, clearly the best team in the country again, while Notre Dame, Clemson, and UCF also remain undefeated, sitting in the top 10 as well. And there's no better place to get in all the action than betonline.ag, and you don't want to wait any longer. Use promo code podcast1 and get a 50% sign-up bonus. That's podcast1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. In the NBA, it's Milwaukee, Toronto, and defending champs Golden State Warriors off to a start on a high note. In the NHL, it's Nashville, Toronto, and Pittsburgh all off to the hot start there. So don't miss out on all the incredible action. It's betonline.ag and use the promo code podcast1 and get a 50% sign-up bonus today. Your online sportsbooks experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. And you know, we've got to talk about our friends at AMSOIL. You know the importance of using a good synthetic motor oil in your power sports equipment, but what about your daily driver? Today's downsized turbocharged engines run hotter and create more engine-damaging contaminants than ever before. Yesterday's motor oil doesn't cut it in today's engines. That's why you need AMSOIL synthetic motor oil. Teams in Monster Energy Supercross, AMSOIL Championship Snowcross, and more rely on AMSOIL synthetic motor oil to protect their engines on the track and in the haulers that get them to the races, and so should you. AMSOIL's Signature Series synthetic motor oil delivers 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by a leading industry standard. Provides the next level protection today's demanding engines need to keep running for years. Go to AMSOIL.com/beaver and find out how AMSOIL's Signature Series synthetic motor oil keeps your vehicle running great for tomorrow. And you know, we've got some useful car tips that you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil will help you clean your interior, removing excess weight from your car. It'll improve your gas mileage, and you can place your key fob right to your chin and increase its range. That's all weird, right? Well, here's another tip you might not be aware of. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. Our friends at TrueCar, they're not just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users see what the other people paid so they'll know they're getting a good deal before they buy. So they're more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy new or used, check out TrueCar and enjoy my confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. And you know, everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Well, I've got an idea for you. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that to-do list. The good thing is you don't have to go anywhere, you don't have to drop anything off, and you definitely don't have to pick anything up. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket just may be the most rewarding thing that you do today. And Pluto TV is a leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all for free. No credit card is needed, no sign up. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to catch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices today. And you know, I recently cut the cord, true story. I got tired of that $200 bill coming in every month and started using Pluto TV. And I've got to tell you, it is definitely a game changer. You know, like we said, over 100 TV channels, thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. You can't ask for anything more, and it's right there, right? It's on all your devices, your Roku, your Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, anywhere you stream, it's right there at your fingertips. Definitely changed the way that I watch TV, so definitely check out Pluto TV. So, yeah, thank you guys for tuning in to Project Action today. Now that we've got through, I guess, all the formalities of the show, we're going to roll into this amazing interview with SEAL Team's AJ Buckley. I'd like to welcome my guest this week to Project Action on Podcast One, AJ Buckley. How is everything going, my friend?
Everything's going good. I'm down in Puerto Rico right now filming SEAL Team. So we've been down here for the last week, and we're halfway through the season. We end up going to Mexico, so parts of Puerto Rico is doubling as Mexico.
Gotcha. Well, here's the question. This is totally off the grid. How are things coming along down in Puerto Rico? I had some friends that were down there like 3 or 4 months ago, and they said parts are looking really good. They said other parts is still kind of coming back. I know that's not what this interview is about, but just curious, you know what I mean? Curiosity, yeah. On my side.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both, man. I think that, you know, the people here are really resilient and such good, hardworking people. And I feel like there's a real strong sense of community of everything getting back on track, but there's still a long way to go, I feel.
Yeah. Well, and it's one thing I've learned about, you know, just people I know from Puerto Rico, man, there's a sense of pride, you know, in Puerto Rico and, you know,
oh, they're great people.
Yeah. Just, you know, they're like you said, they're very resilient and, it's definitely good to know that, parts of it are definitely bouncing back. But talking about SEAL Team, I know, season two is already started. You guys are filming that. I mean, you know, here's one of those shows where I feel like this is one when you start with season one, you never know what the reception is going to be. Obviously it was good. It got signed for a second season, but this is one of those, I feel like it's one of those that you have to nail it 100%. You know what I mean? Because it's such, you know, yeah. You're talking about, you know, Navy SEALs and things like that. I mean, it's one of those, like, you can't half ass a show like this, right?
Yeah. And we're fortunate enough. I totally agree with you that we're fortunate enough that one of our executive producers, Chris Chulak, who shepherded this project from the beginning, was based on a book called No Easy Day. And the guys that are involved on our show are former, you know, Tier 1 operators, former, you know, Delta Ranger. So some of the highest ranking guys that are on our show that are writers in the room, that are tech advisors, that have now become producers on the show. So we're completely surrounded by a pedigree of some of the top soldiers in our country.
Yeah, and I mean, is it one of those things, too, where, you know, you've got writers and you've got things like that, they'll step in and be like, no, this isn't right, we need to reshoot this, and we need to restructure this so it, you know what I mean, so it looks right and it's more authentic?
Well, yeah, the great thing about this is from the get, Chris Chulak had said, you know, which has never been done before, the SEAL guys or any of our vet guys who are on set or in the writing room, if the network or whatever sort of wants to Hollywood it and they feel like it's not a representation of, you know, what they signed on to do, because it's their name as well that, yeah, you know, they're sort of putting on, that the tech advisors have the ability to kill the shot.
Wow.
Which is great.
Yeah, that is great.
So, I mean, they carry a lot of weight, and even when directors come on set and they're doing action scenes and stuff, because all our action scenes are shot, we don't really, it's very, very rare that you'll meet the bad guy. Everything is from the perspective of the soldier and how we move and how we get there. So you really only meet the bad guys as we sort of approach. So tactically, everything has to be sound and tight, and it really allows for an exciting way to make television.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, as far as you, I mean, I know you're a fit, you're an in-shape guy. I mean, SEALs, these guys are another level of fitness. I mean, how did you have to prepare for this role? Because I'm sure there's things you had to learn on your end just to make, you know, your part of Sonny more authentic, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, what I, you know, these guys are all physically fit, but what really separates them from anybody is their mental toughness and their ability to stay completely calm in, you know, absolutely insane situations, and to think clearly and to operate on the highest level in the most insane conditions. And that, to me, was the most fascinating thing. Anybody can work out and can get strong and get their cardio where it needs to be and, you know, run a 6-minute mile, and you can get there. But what separates these guys is their mental toughness and their ability to push through when your body's saying, I can't do it. And mentally you keep going.
Man, that's crazy. So I want to circle back. We'll circle back to SEAL Team, but I kind of want to talk about your career because, you know, one thing when I get actors on the show, I always like to know what the gateway was. What got you into acting? You know what I mean? Because everybody, there was something somewhere along the lines that made you go, oh, I want to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and you're a guy that's been around the industry for a long time. You know, I mean, what was your gateway into acting?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I've been at this for over 20 odd years now, which is crazy because it's flown by. My first, the bug bit me was when I emerged from Dublin, Ireland, and I saw a play in Ireland with my family, and it was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And I just remember when the dwarfs came on stage, the audience would start laughing, and whenever they did jokes, and I can always remember like this sort of faint feeling in my ear of the sound of the audience. And I kept looking around, and then I asked my mom and dad, what was that? And they said, they're actors. And I was like, well, that's what I want to do.
Nice. And then, you know, and,
yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. Well, and then how do you go about that? I mean, obviously you go, hey, I want to be an actor. You know, at this point, it's not like you can, you know, phone an uncle that's, you know, in movies or something like that.
It was like I played soccer and did all the things, but I always could kind of see something in my brain of like where my life was going to head. I had a really kind of clear idea or sense of what it was and sort of. And my mom would always say, it's like, from five on, I just was obsessed with what that was from watching movies and, you know, Putting on the Ritz, Singing in the Rain, all these classics were my favorites, growing up. And then, when we immigrated from Ireland, we went to Vancouver, Canada. And when we were in Canada at the time, Canada had a huge, film industry. It's come back again now, but during that time, it was a huge. All these shows were coming up because the Canadian dollar was so. I was kind of in the right place at the right time, and I started auditioning for. I was like 13 at the time, 13, 14, and I started auditioning for different things, and then I landed one of my first gigs. It was like first or second, and it was like on the X Files, the first season of the X Files.
Okay.
I was like 15, and then from there it just sort of progressed into more and more. And then I got a movie when I was 17, that was called Disturbing Behavior. And that movie got me from there down to, Los Angeles. That the director of the film had, David Nutter, who's now gone to be one of the biggest television directors in the business. He had reached out to me and said, look, your character's testing really high in the movie, because what they do before the movies are released, they'll do test audience just to see story-wise and whatnot, and my character was testing really high. So he's like, look, I suggest that you come down and see if you can, you know, I can try and help you get an agent. But I was only 17, so he talked to my parents, and next thing you know, I'm in a car with my mom and dad driving down to Los Angeles. I arrived in LA. It was my 18th birthday, and I got an agent. And then the first audition I went out on, I booked. And then my parents were like, "All right, well, maybe this is gonna work out for you." And you know, you have your ups and downs.
Yeah.
You know, it's by no means being easy at all. I worked fairly steadily when I first got down there, and then I kind of went through this awkward stage of. I wasn't old enough to play a cop or, you know, but I was too old to be in high school. So there was this weird window and I kind of was living, I didn't really understand, you know, the value of the dollar, and I was living beyond my means. And I kind of had this idea of who I thought I was, which wasn't a great thing. Just, you know, and you get caught up in LA's a very pretty flower that will eat you alive. You're not careful.
Yeah.
And at one point, you know, I was getting, as I started to get loan cash, you know, people were floating me money here and there, and my parents would help me out. And I was 25 at the time, and I just remember thinking, you know, I'm 25 years old, and I'm getting money from people. And at the time, I'd gotten pretty down on my luck, and I started living in my car. I was, you know, couch surfing and stuff, but all my possessions were in my car. And I told my parents, I was like, look, I can't accept another dollar from you. I can't accept another dollar from my friends. I've got to figure this out on my own. Otherwise, I'm never going to get anywhere. And it was a good year and a half of, bouncing around and figuring out. And then out of the blue, CSI New York came. And when that happened, that sort of changed my life forever.
Yeah, well, and I got to say, I know, you know, and I do radio and stuff, but I do a lot of, TV voice work. And I know with me, like, there's a lot. It's like you pick up these small gigs and it's a day, you know, and with me, it was a day of voiceover work for a year. And then you may get a call a month later and you bounce over here and do a deal. But when you get that call and it's the first deal where they actually sign you to, hey, we want you for a year, or we want you, in your case, like for a full season or something like that. Like, to me, it's like, wow, like, I've got constant work. This is amazing, you know, and I gotta think being an actor, it's even much more, you know. I know, didn't CSI sign you to a pretty long-term deal? I mean, that had to have been one of those moments in your career where you're just like, wow, I may actually make this deal work.
Well, there was yes and no. There was this. I've gotten a call to an audition for CSI Miami, and I had worked with the showrunner of CSI New York before on I don't remember the name of the show. It was called like blanking on it. But I'd worked with Pam Bestley on something before, and I guess I'd made an impression. So I was on a list of lab techs that they were trying out on CSI New York, because they were recycling them pretty quick. So at the time, because there was three CSIs, you could only do one CSI a season. Okay. That was the rule. So my agent called and said, "Hey, look, this guest star on CSI Miami is really juicy, but CSI New York had called and said, look, they're interested in you. Will you pass on the Miami thing? And they'll write a couple scenes, and it's a possibly occurring role. We don't know. You know, there's no guarantee, but at least it's a shot." So I decided, I was like, of course, I'd rather double down and go after that. And then I showed up, and it was like two small scenes. And then while I was shooting the second scene, they said, "Oh, we got another scene we're going to add you to at the end of the day." So I got that, and then didn't hear anything for like 2 weeks. And then I got a call from my agent, like, "Oh, they booked you for another show." And then for that entire season of season two, I did like 12, 13 episodes of the 24 episodes. So it was pretty consistent. And my character kind of on the CSI sites and stuff became like a hashtag sort of type character.
Yeah.
Adam, people really liked Adam. And then at the end of season two, on season three, I signed a 7-year deal with CBS.
Yeah, that had been a big moment there then to sign a long-term deal like that.
Oh, my God. It was insane. Yeah. I lost my shit.
I was going to say, that's one of those where you take a sigh of relief. Yeah. You're like, whew, all right. We're actually going to be able to pay the mortgage.
Yeah, for sure.
Or the rent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I want to, you know, so that kind of takes us to, you know, kind of through your career, how you got started. But I want to touch base on something. And you made a mention there, you know what I mean, where acting is, you know, it's kind of like a grind, you know, trying to find the work. And then I know you're an entrepreneur, too. And I'm drawing some parallels there because I'm kind of one of those. I started my own businesses and things like that. And you know, it's very much a grind, kind of, it seems like, acting. But how did you get into the entrepreneur side? I mean, I know you've got a restaurant. You've also got your company Paperclip. I mean, how did that all happened with you and brand building and these? Was that something where you just saw an opportunity, or I mean, how did that whole side of things start?
It kind of goes back to like with my acting thing. It's just like I kind of saw something in my head and had a really strong feeling about it, and it wouldn't leave me alone. You know, the diaper bag thing, which has probably been one of, you know, my more successful ventures that we've been, that came from being a father. My daughter was 7 months old. Sorry, 6 months old, and I went to bring her out for the first time to meet my friends and watch some football. And we're at this restaurant, and my daughter had one of those big poops that went up her back. And as a new dad, I rush into the bathroom, and there's no changing table there, and I don't know what to do. And I look in the diaper bag looking for the changing pad that would have been, you know, I should have packed, but, you know, as dads, we don't remember these things. So I literally had to take my shirt off and lay it down on the floor. And the way that I laid it, it was kind of like in front of the diaper bag. And as I was changing my daughter, I kind of had this idea of, like, what happened if, you know, this, you know, a changing table just kind of folded out from the bag. And sure enough, one of my best friends, Artie Baxter, who's also expecting a son not too shortly after, I sort of spoke to him about it, and he didn't quite get it, but he knew that I was on, because he knows when I'm that serious about something that I'm onto something. And then we started just doing research, and there was nothing out there, and there was nothing really for dads. And we didn't want to build a company that was diaper bag for dads, but we wanted to build a company that moms would buy diaper bags that dads would want to carry too. And that was the sort of like the hook behind it. We didn't want to make it so, you know, male centric that, yeah, you know, you hit this niche market, but, you know, we wanted to target the dads that hated carrying this flower printed bag that the mom got at a baby shower. And so, you know, and I like, you know, to wear suits and stuff like that. So if you have a suit, or if you had your laptop and stuff, it could all kind of go into one. So you weren't going out the door with, you know, three or four bags. And then we sort of designed it where it could be a messenger and a backpack. And that was the first rendition. So we'd gone into development. We went through like 12 prototypes all over to China, met with these things. My wife was like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, I'm like, trust me. I'm like emptying out our savings account to make a diaper bag. And she thought I lost my mind completely. And I wasn't in between shows right now. We just had our kid. I wasn't on a series. So this was a real, this was putting my balls on the table and sort of doubling down and say, let's go. So it was incredibly high risk, but you know, we saw that there was a $23 billion a year, marketplace for baby product for mommy and baby, but there was nothing on the market there that was really had to do with dads. So we're like, look, well, maybe we can create something that if we even get 1% of that, we'll be okay. I mean, 0.5 would be okay. So we had three or four prototypes, but one was named Willow after my daughter, where the idea came from. The other one was named The Bear, named after my buddy's son. And we went to the ABC Kids show in Vegas, and all of a sudden, on like the second or third day, it came by and said that we won the Mommy Blog award for best bag of 2017, which was like the most prestigious bag, because that's your targeted audience, that's your consumer. So we're like, holy shit! And we didn't have any fucking bags made. So we're like, oh god, we got something here. And we had some friends that came in to help. You know, I didn't even know how to write an order with any of these big box places. And, you know, we made some mistakes along the way of like making it super high end, that we sort of boxed ourselves out of these brick and mortar stores. We just didn't even understand that, because by the time our landed cost and what it cost to make and our margin and their margin. So all of a sudden we have like 5,000 bags arriving, and now we can't get them in the store because our margins doesn't make sense, and we'll lose money. And we have all these bags here and we don't know what to fucking do. So then it forced us to kind of build our online and reach out and sort of really hit the ground running. And I give a lot of credit to my business partner, Artie. He really, and some of the other two guys that we hired. And so that first year with all these bags, it would be like, oh, one bag a month. We sold. I'm like, oh fuck, I'm so screwed. This is terrible. And then sure enough, like the next month it was like three bags, and then five bags, and then six. And now, I mean, if you go to our website, we're sold out of, we cannot keep them on the shelf. So it's been, and we've got a whole new line coming out and thing, but it's just been a word of mouth. And what we realized too is that baby products are sold in the playground. If a mom says, oh, you got to get this bag, that's when your bag is sold. It doesn't matter how creative you are with your marketing. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah. If it gets in with the moms and the moms say, you need this, then instinct, your mom will go or dad will go, or people start putting you on baby registries. But it was like three years later, you know, and a lot of gray hairs later, we're on our, we're about to launch our fall line. We're going to some other product lines of the thing, creating more of a, you know, lifestyle brand. So it won't be just baby bags, but there'll be other types of bags there and some other products of some baby clothes and whatnot. So it's really kind of taking a life of its own, which is, you know, which is crazy. I mean, to think, you know, I'm playing a Navy SEAL on TV and selling diaper bags on the side. I never thought that, you know, that would happen.
Whatever works, man. Right. Whatever works.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So your wife doesn't think you're quite so crazy now, right?
Oh, she still thinks I'm crazy. That's why she married me.
Yeah. Oh man, that is too funny. So, I know you know. So there's that. I'm just going down the list, and I'm like, man, we've got a lot in common here. I know. So you're a big MMA fan and motorsports fan. I know you hosted some MMA awards over the summer, right?
Yeah. It was actually me and one of the other stars of the show, Max Terriot, we got asked to present Fighter of the Year, which Max Holloway got. And it was really cool, man. It was cool just to get out. I'm a massive MMA fan. And actually, that was a cool event because one of the veterans that we work with on the show, we brought him out there with us and brought him up on stage with us with his dog. And he got a standing ovation. And it was just, it was a really cool moment. And that's the other thing I wanted to mention with our show, too, is like it's something that we're one of the first shows to ever do this, is that over, there's probably 200 plus people in our crew, and over, way over half of our crew are veterans. So
our
producers went really out of the way to find veterans, whether they're, you know, whatever. If I go up to the stunt lady and say I have a friend who's a veteran, without a doubt, she'll figure out a way how to get his paperwork and get him into stunts, because, you know, there's all our stunt guys are all special forces guys or some sort of, you know, they've been deployed, so they understand it. And, you know, the way that our tech advisor said, said that there's nothing that my guys can't do that your stunt guys, or that your stunt guys can't do that my guys can't do. And my guys can do it better. So, and it's just cool to be surrounded day in and day out by these guys that have, you know, sacrificed so much for this country.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, that's like a double positive. Like you said, it adds the authenticity of the show, but it also keeps them employed and working. And, like, I mean, that's such a big deal. And I'm glad you brought that up, because, I mean, I did not know that about the show, but it, you know, that gets me excited. I do a lot with veterans charities and things like that. And so, man, that is awesome that you guys are doing that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you mentioned Max, and I actually don't know Max personally, but I know we've actually raced against each other in off-road before, but yeah, he's... Yeah, no, and he hasn't been back in the desert in a while, but, yeah, I know, yeah.
That's right, that's right, dude, I remember that, because I followed you on Instagram before, before this thing. But yeah, that's crazy, man. That's I'll have to tell Max we're speaking with you today.
Yeah, no, it'll be yeah, it'll be awesome. I need to get him on the show at some point on one of my two shows, but just never dotted the I's and crossed the T's.
I'll let him know for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, so you know, circling back to SEAL Team and that, I mean, what can fans expect out of season two? Obviously, you know, things have started, you guys are still filming. I mean, what can you tell us? What, you know, I know there's a lot you can't tell us, but what can fans expect?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing with this year is they wanted to really go into, you know, what's it like to come home after being deployed, and sort of the scars of war, and how these operators deal with, you know, PTSD and TBI and acclimating back to society, and, you know, whether it's through, you know, their family or their faith or through alcohol or through pills or, you know, and then on top of that, then getting ready to go back and being deployed again. And it's just sort of this vicious cycle that these guys go through, and sort of seeing what, you know, the true definition of sacrifice is. You know, it's really blown my mind. I always had a respect for the military, but I didn't understand it as what I do now. And I didn't understand what the word sacrifice or freedom is. And to meet these guys and see what they've done, and that they do it again in a heartbeat. And some of these guys are missing arms and stuff, parts of their arms. You know, then they, in a heartbeat, would say, do it again. I love this country more than anything. And, you know, that this is what I was meant to do. And to meet people like that, knowing what the outcome was for them, that they would go back and do it again, is unbelievable.
Yeah, that definitely is. And so I know, obviously, SEAL Team Season 2 is going on right now. You've got another show coming out 2019, correct? Pure? What can you tell us about that? I know you guys have wrapped up filming, correct?
Yeah, Pure I shot 2 years ago up in Canada, and it was before I did SEAL Team. It's actually based on a true story of this. One of the biggest pipelines of cocaine that the Mennonites ran down to Mexico. And my character is based on this guy that was the detective that brought it down, this guy Bronco Novak. So it's not, like, my character's not a real guy, but the story of these Mennonites, is, you know, it's got this sort of Breaking Bad sort of feel to it because Mennonites, they all live off the grid and they don't have cell phones and anything like that. So they're not supposed to anyways. And they would go back and forth across the border and put, you know, coke and meth in like cheese wheels and in horses and stuff going back and forth. So it was this crazy thing that they had. It was this vicious sort of crime group that you would never think these people would ever be doing this. But, you know, money will make people do crazy things. But it's a really fun character. That character actually was fun to play because I put on a bunch of weight. The character at the beginning of the season sort of was this lost alcoholic cop and sort of the handlebar mustache and drives like an old red Mustang and just that typical guy with a big gut. And then by the end of the season, I just wanted to see a physical change of him where he starts getting sort of his life together and his family and getting more focused on taking these guys down. He stops drinking and whatnot. So I wanted to sort of show a real physical change. So by the end of it, we probably in that 3 months, we probably dropped like 20 pounds or something to show the difference in the character, which is really fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's a question. I know how you lose the weight and you're an in-shape guy. You know what I mean? How do you gain the weight though, to do that part? I mean, what do you just start eating like garbage food? And I mean, like, how do you put on 20 pounds to play
much,
a character?
Yeah, it's actually not that fun. Honestly, people be like, oh, it's fun for like the first day or two, but then you just feel like shit and you're just like not, like just eating crap before you go to bed and then just waking up that fog. So I guess because I've gotten my lifestyle and my diet is so clean that when I eat like that, that my body just goes, what the fuck's going on? You need to stop this.
Yeah.
So, you definitely got to push through it. It's a lot more fun losing it than it is gaining it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And that's, I've always wondered, you know, it's like, you know, you go into any of these nutrition stores and they've got Weight Gainer 2000 and stuff like that. And you're like, I always wondered how you actually put on the weight, because I know that's got to be odd. I know me, like you all the same way. You go and you start eating crappy and you feel like crap. I mean, you feel just like the stuff that you put into your body, you know, and it's got to affect things for, you know, for a while until you can start taking it off.
Well, I met this really great nutritionist, Kevin Libby at PH2 Nutrition in Hollywood. And he really dialed me in. He sort of designs the diet based on your metabolic rate and your blood type and all your different things. And that to him, now every role that I have, or if I have like my shirt has to come off in like a week or so or something like that, we can just dial it in certain ways. So, you know, it's a lot of trial and error and figuring out your body, but it's, you know, a lot of it is discipline and putting that extra work in when nobody else is.
Yeah, for sure. Well, AJ, I appreciate the time, man. Thank you for calling into the show this week. Tons of fun, and definitely looking forward to the rest of the season of SEAL Team. And good luck with Pure and everything else you got going, man.
I appreciate it, man. And if anybody's interested in the diaper bags, they can just go to www.papercliplife.com and check them out.
Man, good times there, catching up with AJ Buckley. Make sure and check out his show, SEAL Team. Definitely worth the watch. Entrepreneur, man, he's all over the board, but just a rock solid dude. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that one. Thank you once again for tuning into Project Action this week. Thank you to all our amazing partners in the show. Make sure and check out betonline.ag. Use that promo code podcast1. Amsoil, it's amsoil.com/beaver. Pluto TV, our good friends at Geico, TrueCar, just some amazing partners in the show. And if you like this show, you got to check out the other amazing shows on Podcast One Sportsnet. You got to check out the plethora of the finest programming on the web with your favorite sports and your biggest names in sports and the finest sports coverage around every weekday with the Rich Eisen Show, the Dan Patrick Show, and, Rich Eisen, Dan Patrick Show, and more are every week here on Podcast One Sportsnet or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And thank you guys once again for tuning in. We will be back next week. It will be Torrey Wilson, former WWE pro wrestler, on the show. We'll be talking WWE Evolution, her career, the fitness industry, being an entrepreneur, what it's like to be on the road with WWE, in the women's revolution. It's an amazing interview. You guys are definitely going to enjoy it. Make sure and catch me every week on the Down and Dirty Radio Show as well. Subscribe to both shows on iTunes. Follow me on social media at JimBeaver15. And make sure and hit me up. You got a guest suggestion, you got somebody you would like to hear on one of my shows, hit me up. I love to hear from you guys. It's always always fun to get your feedback on what you think of the show and who you want to hear on air with me. So thank you guys for tuning in once again. Be safe. Have a great week. As always, game on.